Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Allison.
And I'm Taylor.
And together, we're the Anxiety Chicks.
Each week, we will dive deep into a different topic about anxiety and the real-life experiences we all go through,
while giving you all the top tools and tips you need for your journey to recovery.
Our degrees may say therapist and dietitian, but together, we are just real chicks on our own healing journeys, too.
Join us as we take you from panic to power and reduce the stigma of mental health. Remember, you're never alone, and we're all in this together.
Hi, healers. It's Allison here. So I want to tell you a little bit more about how Taylor and I got started with our podcast. And the platform we've been using, which is Anchor, has been so user-friendly and so amazing. I just want to tell anyone else out there that is thinking about starting a podcast, Anchor is the way to go. First of all, it's completely free. So, hello. Second of all, there's so many creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. It's crazy. I'm recording this right from my phone, and it literally just looks like the record button on your videos or your Instagram. So it really is such a user-friendly platform. And the coolest thing is you can add any song from Spotify directly to your episodes too. And the possibilities are seriously endless for what you can create, whether it's music analysis, your own radio show, or something the world's never even seen before. Anchor also distributes your podcast for you, so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and so many other platforms. And you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. So it's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. And like I said, it's so user-friendly. I recommend Anchor. Go to anchor.fm to get started, or the Anchor app. See you later, healers.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the Anxiety Chicks podcast. I'm Allison Sepinera.
And I'm Taylor.
And we are so excited to be back with you guys. We have an awesome topic for you all today. If you were listening to last week's episode, we kind of gave you a clue at the end. I think we actually told you what we were going to be talking about today. So we're talking a little bit about friendship anxiety today and how anxiety affects friendships, because Lordy knows that I have been through it with my friends. What about you, Taylor?
Oh, yeah. I'm interested to see like how, if we're like similar or like different.
Yeah. I know, on how it's kind of like affected us. But before we start, why don't you just fill us in on what's been going on? How are you?
Good. I went to the dentist, guys, and I had no cavities.
No cavities. Can you tell the listeners a little bit about why, about what you told me like 5 minutes ago about your teeth?
Yeah, I guess I have some like ridges in my teeth that make me more prone to cavities. So like I always have a cavity every time I go, and I think it's made my like hatred for going to the dentist, or like fear of it. But I asked the dentist probably like 7 times. I was like, are you sure I don't have any cavities? Like, did y'all take enough x-rays? Like, oh, so yeah, it's a great day.
Yeah, it was just so crazy because we were talking about how I'm you know, older than you. So I've been going to the dentist a little longer, but in my whole life, I've only had 2 cavities my entire life. And my niece, who is now 7, has like 6 cavities or something already. And so I always thought it was just because, you know, they always tell you, you can't eat candy. Obviously, there's things that are bad for your teeth that you want to stay away from a lot of, right? Like sugar, soda, and candy and stuff. But apparently getting cavities is somewhat genetic too. I don't know.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Yeah.
But 100%. That is good news for you. And some good news for me. I've actually been feeling a lot better with my reflux. I feel like I've been on my sort of regimen that my holistic practitioner, my functional medicine doctor put me on. That's been good. I still have been taking the medicine that they prescribed me at the GI doctor. And that, you know, we talked about that, oh my God, what's it called? That meeting I went to with my doctor, appointment. Oh my God, I'm having a brain fart. The appointment I went with my doctor. So, but I'm feeling better and I'm excited to talk to everyone today a little bit about friendship anxiety. But before we start, I want to say thank you to everybody who's been following us on the Anxiety Chicks Instagram page and leaving us wonderful reviews on iTunes. We really would love, and Spotify, I guess anywhere that you can rate and review us. If you enjoy this podcast, please give us a little love. It, you know, helps seeing that we're really helping with everybody else's anxiety and helping you guys feel less alone. We love that. We also love the constructive criticism we get because there are, you know, we're not perfect. There's definitely people that are not relating to our podcast and that's totally fine. I actually went on the Anxiety Chicks Instagram the other day and posted one of the reviews that we got that talked I think it talked about how we're not consistent. I don't know. It was negative. And so I just wanted to clear some things up and I will do that from, you know,
wait, what did it say?
There. I'll do that every now and then. It said we need to be more consistent about when we drop episodes.
We talked about that. And guys, we do all this for free. We don't make money off of it. So like, we're very busy people. We're trying our best. Allison just finished her book. I just finished some stuff. So like now we're getting in the routine of it, but promise we are trying our best.
Yes. Although we are looking for sponsors. So if you know of anybody who wants to sponsor us.
Yeah.
If you would like to email us at theanxietychicks@gmail.com. Cause we would love to keep this podcast going. Cause there are so many people that enjoy it. But you know, we really just from the bottom of our hearts, we struggle with anxiety ourselves, but we also love having a community where people feel like they're less alone and they can feel a little bit more healed in their journey. So we apologize if any of our, you know, anything bothers you. But anyway, I will be commenting on them because I think it's good to point out that not everybody's perfect, that we're doing this podcast based on kind of true us and authenticity and who we are. And so
have you seen my sign?
If any part of that annoys you, then maybe you don't want to hear my voice or anything. Cause I don't mean to be like that. It's just who I am. Wait, what'd you say?
Have you seen my sign I got in my office?
Wait, yes. What does it say?
Perfection is an illusion.
Right. Perfection. I love that. Perfection.
No one's perfect, guys. So don't expect perfection. If you're not perfect, don't expect perfection out of other people. And that's something that like when we get into talking about friendship anxiety, I think is something that this is a good transition point into because you can't expect things out of other people that you don't give yourself. And you can't expect other people to reach standards that you yourself don't even reach.
Yeah. Exactly. And you can go back and listen to our episode on perfectionism because that was a popular one. I don't
that
know
was
which
a good one, yeah.
Couple episodes back. So go listen to that. But if you like what you hear, we would love for you to rate and review us and subscribe if you want. Anyway, let's start getting into friendship anxiety because I want to hear from you actually. Why don't you start, Taylor, and tell me a little bit about how your anxiety affects your friendships and then kind of talk about it.
I feel like growing up, I just wanted to be liked. My whole life I've wanted to be liked. And I think that's I think the core of it was insecure and not liking myself and not realizing I didn't like myself like my whole life. But I always wanted to be the center of attention, have the most friends, like be a part of the popular crowd. And I think this is something that like a lot of younger kids want to be, you know, you want to have the most friends, the most fun group in the school. And like, I had all that, but I always felt so alone. It's such a weird feeling. Like I was super popular per se, like quote unquote, I'm doing my hands quoted guys, because what is popular, honestly, like looking back on it, what was that? the kids who were going to the parties on the weekends in high school and stuff. And I was a part of that crowd, but I truly would look around sometimes and be like, yeah, there's all these people around me, but I feel so alone. Like if I were not to attend the party, no one would stay home with me. You know what I mean? It's like no one was wanting to do the sleepovers where we didn't have to go to a party or we didn't have to do. I just feel like no one really knew genuinely who I was. And I don't even think I knew who I was because I had a mask on all the time because I wanted to be like them. And I always picked friend groups that were so different than my core values. It's so weird to explain, but the people looking at my friend groups over my lifetime, it was always friend groups that weren't me nor my personality. I think I was just so lost on who I was that I attracted people who of this image I wanted to be. And I don't even know why I wanted to be this image, but I think this image I wanted to be was what I thought was in the movies and the shows you watch growing up as the cool people and the, I don't know, but honestly, getting diagnosed with anxiety, extreme panic disorder and health anxiety is when my eyes opened to what have I been doing?
Hi healers, Allison here. So I want to talk to y'all a little bit about one of our new sponsors, BetterHelp. I'm so excited to tell you about this online counseling platform because as a licensed therapist, I'm a huge advocate of mental health awareness and truly believe in providing affordable counseling services to anyone, anywhere. Let's face it, there's so many areas in the United States and around the world that can make it so difficult to find affordable counseling. And especially if you live in a more rural area, it can be really hard to find a counselor, which is why I love this online platform. BetterHelp is an online mental health healing platform that provides online counseling and matches you with your own licensed professional therapist. It's not a crisis line. It's not self-help. It's a professional counseling service done securely online and is available worldwide. What's even better is that there are a number of different licensed counselors who specialize in all different areas of mental health. BetterHelp makes it so easy to log onto your account at any time and contact your therapist directly. You'll get timely and thoughtful responses and can schedule as many weekly video or phone sessions as you would like. As a therapist, I know that it's not always possible to find the right therapist for your needs, especially the very first time. So BetterHelp has actually made it so easy to facilitate great therapeutic matches. And if you don't find a connection with your first counselor, there's absolutely no charge to change counselors if you ever need to. How amazing is that? And if you find that you're struggling financially, they also have financial aid available. So we have a special offer for all Anxiety Chick listeners today. Sign up now and receive 10% off your first month. Just visit betterhelp.com/theanxietychicks. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P, /theanxietychicks, and join over 500,000 people who are taking charge of healing their mental health with an experienced counselor today.
Because at the end of the day, no one ever really asked anyone in our friend group, no one really checked in on each other. I didn't know anything anyone was struggling with. I only looked at everyone else's lives and was like, everyone's life seems like perfect. Like we didn't talk about struggles because it was all about partying. And anyways, it was just, I realized I was lonely. I was like, I don't have a true friend. And that sucked. Like to really sit down and finally tell yourself, like, stop acting like you have friends. None of these people are your friends.
Oh my gosh. It's the loneliest feeling. So much.
Literally a feeling of being alone in a crowd.
I cannot believe how much, again, I mean, of course, because I feel like we are very aligned with each other and like how we are as people, but I totally relate to that. I was always like that as a child. I always wanted to be, well, let me just tell you from a very young, I mean, I don't, again, we've talked about this. I don't remember too much of my childhood, but I remember one of my first like role models of wanting to look like and be like is Kelly Kapowski on Saved by the Bell. Did you ever watch Saved by the Bell?
No.
Oh man, I'm so old. Anyone that's listening that loves Saved by the Bell, I love you. Okay. And we're not old. Okay. But you know what the show is, right? You've heard of it?
No.
Oh my God.
Okay, but what did you about her?
I'll just tell you. Yeah, I'll just tell you and you can Google her. So it was like a Saturday morning show and she was just in my eyes. She was the most popular. She was – the boys fought over her and they were in high school. So I remember – I wasn't in high school when I was watching it. I was in like middle school maybe or, you know, even like
– she's beautiful.
Fifth grade. My gosh, she's gorgeous.
Wow.
Gorgeous. So I just remember – wanting to dress like Kelly Kapowski, wanting to be Kelly Kapowski. I kind of still do at 40 years old. I kind of wish I loved her. But there was always, yeah, it was always this sort of false sense of what would make me happy when I was younger. And yeah. It was to be liked. The same thing you said, it was to be liked and to be popular. And if the popular kids in my school would talk to me, it had... That was everything of my self-worth was based on that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Everything. And don't get me wrong. I like really had a, I had a really happy childhood where I would be a kid and I was playing with my, you know, I'd jump in the leaves with my dad or I'd play with my dog or go, you know, to a swim club and play with some people there. But when it came down to it, like in school and stuff and friendships that I had, all I wanted to do was dress like Kelly Kapowski and wear, you know, a midriff and just be, I always wanted to be older than I was too. Did you ever want that?
Yes. I think I always looked older than I was. Like I looked,
yeah, so did I
in middle school. Like I remember mm-hmm. people being like, no way you're in middle school. Like I just grew up before everyone. But it's kind of interesting because I hear you saying you had role models. I think I was so, my parents were, my mom's, and she admits it, she was a helicopter mom. Like, I don't even think I had people to look up to because I was so censored on what I could watch. And my mom was so protective of me. Like, she didn't even let me sleep over at people's houses. Like, I never, she would find ways to ground me so I couldn't hang out with people. Like, she didn't want me to leave the house. So it was really hard because this was when I was in like sixth grade. I remember I went to private school up to fifth grade. And then sixth grade, I was put into public school. And it was like all these kids had grown up with these other kids since preschool. So I really had to like try hard to get into these friend groups of all these people. Like I was literally a lone fish in a sea, you know, it was. So I felt even more of a need to like fit in and be liked. And then my mom wouldn't let me hang out with people unless they came over to our house. So it was like, I just felt so upset all the time. And I see my mom's worries, like that was her anxiety and her fear of something bad happening, but right. She couldn't just keep me locked up to prevent something bad from happening. You know, like at some point I was going to go out and live my life. And I think I wish she would have saw that back then. Cause I think that really did a number on me. Just like, I felt I had an imaginary friend. Like my mom would be like, you're grounded. I remember I'd always be like, and we joke about it now, but I'd be like, all right, I guess I'm going to go hang out with Billy again. Like, and so we oh make a gosh. Joke about Billy now, but it's like, she would never let me do anything. And it's kind of sad to think about, but I see her anxiety, but I don't think it was fair to me, but I tried even harder to be fit in because I felt so like I was five steps behind everyone because they were all friends since they were born. Basically, They all started at this private school together. I mean, public school. And I came from this Christian private school and I knew no one. And That was rough. That was really rough. And, but even like thinking back to younger than that at the private school, I would go to sleepovers and I would literally clean people's houses. It's really weird, Allison, but it's like I even wanted the parents' approvals. I cleaned my during recess, I would clean my teacher's room and they would call my mom and be like, and I would hear it. Taylor is so amazing. She's such a good student. She cleans our room. And like I based my self-worth off of other people being like my accolades, like since from a young age, like literally at sleepovers, why was I Swiffering a woman's, sorry, that's my dog. Oh gosh. I was like, why am I Swiffering a woman's floor? Yeah. Like thinking back to that, that's so odd. Like that's so weird. And I would start a gang of it. Like there would be four of us cleaning and it's like, what? And then the mom, my mom, I don't know. I don't know why I still wonder. And I told you in the last episode, like, I really want to get into therapy for like processing childhood stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what I want to find, like, a specialist on that.
Yeah.
It's just so, it's so interesting to me thinking back to the things I did. It's like, why was I not at recess with other kids? Why was I cleaning a teacher's room?
Well, I mean, it makes sense. Like, hearing that, it makes sense why you maybe would have never watched Saved by the Bell then, because your mom wouldn't want you to watch it because it was a little bit, you know.
No, couldn't even listen to secular music, whatever that is. It's
It was
so censored. And like, my parents' friends at the time were like very just, you know, it's like, you're not going to have, I remember one of my friends that was my parents' friend's daughter. They had no TVs in their house. So my mom felt like a bad mom when
for letting you watch TV.
The kids would come over, and I remember her sister was at our house one time and her face was glued to our TV. And my mom said she felt so bad when that girl's mom came over and was like, "Hey, let's go. Let's go." And the girl would not move her face from the TV.
Oh my God.
She didn't want to leave. And it's like, I don't blame her. I don't think any of that is good parenting. I think there should be balancing in everything.
I mean, there's a balance. Listen, I mean, there's no, like,
how long can you protect your kid from bad?
So that's the one thing I will say, I think, from a psychological perspective, as far as, you know, parenting goes, being overprotective and like a helicopter parent is actually does a disservice to your children, because when they actually grow up and get into the real world, they feel like they can't do it on their own.
Yeah, which they really struggled with. So yeah,
they feel very, very scared to, you know, they don't think that it's possible to survive basically with their responsibilities they have, because they've been protected so much. And so
I also think it's a form of like almost always feeling like, as a kid, you're almost, when you have a helicopter mom, I'm sure the thing she said is like, everything in the world is dangerous besides being with me at home. You know, I'm sure
that's the message that the child,
the message
that the child gets basically. But I will say that I don't want this to turn into, again, a thing that's about like parents and, you know, what they're doing wrong. I feel like there's no guidebook for parenting. Parent is perfect.
Right. I think she had things struggling in her.
Right.
You know, it's like,
I was just going to say,
no, she, like, her acting that way was her being the best mom in the world by sacrificing her life and doing nothing fun for herself to make sure I was safe. And like, that was dedication, but it was.
But that's what I would say as far as a therapist, me putting my therapist hat on for like a minute. If anyone's listening that is a parent and feels like they do struggle with their own anxiety and it's debilitating, or they notice patterns of them being very overprotective, see if you can just get some support and get some professional support, because let me tell you, not only will it help you, but it'll help your child or your children to really recognize, you know, that your worldview might be a little distorted, because let's be honest, the world is a scary place, but ruminating and like just thinking about that all the time and trying, you only have so much control. That's really what it comes down to. So, but I totally hear you, because my mom was not as strict as that, but there was definitely, you know, she struggled with her anxiety and her own depression. And, you know, I feel like I was trying to get my self-worth through friendships as a child and being in this type of like trying to be a part of this popular crowd or find quote unquote, you know, friendships when I was younger was so based on fake things. It wasn't real. And as I grew older, I kept just being in these fake friends. Now, I won't say that the friends I was with were fake, because I still have best friends from like grade school and high school. Well, I'll tell you though, when I say best friends, I'll say there's really only a handful that I still talk to, but it's like an onion. I have different layers of myself that I give to people. And so like the very core of an onion is maybe those like 2, 3, 4 people in your life that you literally feel so safe with. They know everything about you. They're the people that you call when, you know, you are having a panic attack or you're feeling really anxious, or they maybe know your deep, deepest, darkest thoughts that you feel so shameful about, I have maybe like two people or three people in my life. And a couple of them are my friends that I grew up with, but I'll say maybe like one or two of them are, but you don't understand how many friendship groups I've had. Like so many different types of girlfriends, like tens and, you know, probably 100, I would say. I'd have 100 groups of girlfriends throughout my life that were so based on fake stuff. And as I grew older, and like, that's why I talked about at your age, like you're getting to the age where you're really figuring out yourself and your friendships. As I grew older, I weeded out a lot of people because I had to. I started becoming more of who I am. And now the two or three people that I still have, these core, they're the ones that accepted me for who I was. And they're the ones that still that maybe I've had fights with, but we were able to come together and really talk together about, you know, why we have certain thoughts or why we didn't agree with what they did or whatever like that. But we always want to work on the friendship. And so I can say I do now at this point have real authentic friendships, but I also still have those social relationships, but I just don't put a lot of energy into them anymore. And I can't, because for so long in my life, my anxiety was telling me that I needed my self-worth from these types of people. And it was so fake. So I think as you get older, if you can reevaluate friendships, it's actually really important to do that. And one of the best ways to start doing that is to start setting boundaries with certain friends that do not make you feel good about who you are when you're around them.
Yeah, I cut out every single friend when I got, which was probably a bad thing. Like I full on isolated because I just couldn't. Like
you have to figure it out. Yeah, maybe you're trying to figure out which one. You know,
disorder was so bad that I didn't think I was even going to live to tomorrow. So it's like, when I was like, I don't even care about friends. Like I'm not even going to live to tomorrow. But started to get better, I was just like, I went from finding my worth in friends to like questioning everybody's intentions with a friendship. And so I actually reversed wanting the big groups of friends to like, do people actually really like me? And like anxiety started telling me they don't actually like you. Like they pity you. You're annoying. And so then I got to the point where I was just like, oh, it's so exhausting hanging out with people because I feel like I'm annoying them. I feel like I'm a bother. I feel like they truly don't want to hang out with me. Like they hang out with me like I don't even know why. Then it turned into that. So then I really struggled with like finding, because at that point I was like, I just want one good friend. Like that's all I want. Because I cut out everyone. And people notice that I wasn't.
So what? How old were you when you did that? You cut off everyone?
So, okay. I got diagnosed with panic disorder going into my junior year of undergrad. So 20, about to be 21.
Okay.
So that age, I was living with three other girls and I was in this huge group of girls, about 15 girls. There's 15 of us that were good friends. We lived in a townhome of four of us. Next to us was another townhome of our other four friends. And then our other friends lived in the apartment right next door. So like we all lived like on the strip together. And I mean, they were my friends since I started freshman year of college. Like it was just, I loved the times I had with them, but it just was never who I truly am. It's not that they're bad people. I just was never being authentic to myself. And I felt like I was always doing things for people to like me. Like I would make everyone feel so special, but no one ever made me feel special. And I would do all these things for people. Like if it was someone's birthday, I would go out of my way to like make it like so special for them, but no one ever really cared about, I don't know. I just felt like no one ever really cared. No one ever really showed they cared. And so they just weren't that kind of friends. Like it never got to a personal level of, they never knew who I truly was because I didn't even know who I truly was. And then when I got diagnosed with panic disorder, I was having so many panic attacks every day. All I had was my family and my boyfriend. And so at that point, I just was so worried about dying. I could care less about friendships. And like people started to notice. So then I moved out into my own apartment by myself, my senior year of college. I lived alone. Which was actually really, really good for me. I had one of the best years doing that. Like senior year, not best years, but I just like felt more at peace having my space. And I've realized I'm more of an introvert than I had put on for so long. I tried to be an extrovert and for people to like me, when really I'm not an extrovert. I enjoy being alone. I enjoy conversations with people that are deeper than the surface level. Like, I'm so sick of that. I spent so many years having conversations about things I don't care about.
Yes.
Like, people, yes. Like girls in college, here's another thing, like, they're nasty, like with the way they talk. And that is not me. Like, I'm not a nasty talker. I don't care for all that stuff. Like, I don't even care to talk about, I'm gonna get the most drunk tonight. Like, it's just not me. At the core, it is not me. And yeah, it never was me. And like, I think I got to a point where I was like, I don't need all this in my life. And if they don't want to like me, then oh well. But then I got to a point where my anxiety reversed, like I said, and it's just more of like, do these people, I'm authentic to who I am now and like what I stand for. Like, I've finally about a year ago told everyone in my friend group about what I went through, showed them all my Instagram. It was hard, but you know, five of them texted me and was like, hey, I struggle with anxiety too. I mean, but you don't see it in them, but it's just crazy how like, I wish we could have talked about that then, you know, it's like crazy, but now it's different. Now my anxiety is more of like, do they really like me? Like the people I have in my life now, it's like, do they actually care about me? And like putting my energy in places where I feel I'm liked back. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I will say that I think a lot of people listening can relate to this, but there's so much shame that comes into play when you have like anxiety episodes or you've panic attacks, or there's just, at least for me and a lot of people that I've talked to, when it happens, and even though I'm so self-aware that more than I used to be about my own anxiety, but I still have episodes. I mean, this is not something that's cure, you know, I'm not going to be cured of it and never have that ever again. I manage it every day. But I still have, life hits you and things make you sad. Things make you scared. Talk about like getting older. I mean, as you get older and you get to my age, you know, I'm seeing more and more people losing their parents and things happen. And so I will sometimes, my anxiety will come out as anger a lot. Yeah. I mean, not a lot, like I think I said this at last episode, I have a really weird relationship with anger. Like it's really scary for me to express anger. And so I'm working on that, but I feel so much shame whenever I, you know, either have an anger outburst and I feel so bad, or when I'm just trying to like express my emotions and someone isn't, you know, as emotionally aware as me. And I just feel like, oh my gosh, I'm so bad because I'm expressing myself and this person isn't even validating me. Like I'm expecting that other person to validate me. And really I have to try and regulate on my own. I mean, that's really what's empowering, is being able to know that you can have emotions and you can feel things. And it's good to have a support system, you know, like real, those core friends, but that you aren't not codependent on them to make you make all of it go away. Right. That's kind of like the healing process. So, but still, I still feel the shame so much of just either when I can't, there's a big thing too with a lot of my friends, is when I started setting boundaries, I started saying no a lot more because I knew there were certain environments that were just not fun for me. I drank a lot in my 20s because I was so anxious and also depressed that the only time I felt actually like I wasn't about to jump off a cliff was when I was drunk. So I was drinking way too much. And it's almost normalized when you're in your 20s, just like drinking so much. It almost is like,
dude, you just hit something that was crazy. The saying no, setting that boundary, that's where your real friends show.
Mm-hmm.
Like if
can I just say one thing? If you say no because you're setting a boundary to some type of event or something that your friend asked you to do and they get mad at you, that is why you're setting the boundary with that person.
Yeah.
Because no one should be getting angry with you for doing something that you feel like you need to do to rest your mind and rest your body. It just shouldn't be like that.
Yeah. Like I would say with my, I have three good friends now, and it's like, we don't see each other that often. And like, we have our times, like we're all the same. It's like, you like your space, you like your time. And it's okay if I don't see you every single day of the week. Because I remember in college, if you missed out on one party, you were lesser of a friend. God. You were at the low end of the time. And then they would talk about their time they had and you felt so left out. And then they'd make you feel bad that you didn't go. Yeah. Oh, Taylor's not fun. And then you're not the fun friend. It was just so pressure.
Yeah. Oh my God. What's wrong? What's wrong with you? Yeah. Oh,
that's so. Study? Why do you want to study? It's a Friday night. Like, have fun. Your test isn't till Monday. I got that all the time because I wanted to do good. And it just like, I should have surrounded myself with people who also wanted to do good. You know what I mean? It's like, and I remember longing for those friends so much too. Like I had, like, it's like I reached that level. It's almost like money and fame. Like people are like, oh, once I'm rich and once I'm famous, then I'll be the people who have money and fame. And they're like, you don't even know. Like, I remember I heard like Justin Bieber talking about it not too long ago on his live. And he was like, I've had it all, guys, and you will not find happiness in it. And I think that's something like once I had the popular friends, I was longing for the friends who just wanted to hang out and like the friends who did want to do good in life and who did want to study. And I realized how different I was. I liked being studious. I liked learning, and that's okay. Yeah. I'm not being a nerd. What is a nerd? Like, it's so dumb.
I know. It's you know what it is? It's what TV shows portray to you, which is so mean.
My icon, like my prime times was like, what was popular? High School Musical. It was like the absolute definition of stereotypes. You know what I mean? They had
the jock.
Yeah.
The jock. I know. I mean, you think of like Hollywood and society and how they portray certain roles. And that's the way that, you know, it's supposed to be and how you're going to feel like you made it or something. And it's so backwards. And I think,
I know,
you know, I actually I feel fortunate, at least in the last couple of years, that mental health is sort of being talked about more and that there is this sort of positive body, you know, body positive movement happening, which I was like, I wish that there was someone else when I was younger saying, you know, feel positive about your body, like love your body, love yourself for this, because I don't think I had one person tell me that when I was young, that I should love who I am. Like I was just watching other movies and thinking like I always had to be this other person. Now being able to do the work and understand that who I am, and I really truly accept who I am and I love who I am, even though sometimes I don't like it, I still deep down love myself, but it's a struggle. Mm-hmm. And the people that are in my life now, like the friends I have, they love me for everything that I am. All of the things that people outside might think are weaknesses, I'm doing air quotes. They love me for that. And I love them for what they're going through. And that's true. Like what Justin Bieber said, like that what he was talking about was that, the money and the fame, that is literally like at the end of the day, when you're on your deathbed, what are you going to say about your life and why it was worth it?
Yeah.
Not because you had 5 cars.
Yeah. Not because you had a million friends.
Not because you have 300 friends that you think are your real friends. You're going to say it's because there's like 2 or 3 people that were so meaningful to you in your life and that accepted you and loved you for who you were authentically you. Like
I have to remind myself of that a lot. Like sometimes I'll sit around and I'll be like, I'll get in this mood where I'm just like, I'm so lonely. And I'm like, why am I lonely? Why do I think I'm lonely? And it's like, cause I'll scroll through Instagram and see people doing all these fun things. And I'm like, but if I was there, I wouldn't want to be there. It's a weird thing of like, you think it looks so fun on the outside because that's what social media is. It's a highlight reel. And I think at the end of the day, what truly, truly matters in a friendship. And if you're sitting at home and you're like, I have no friends. I'm such a loser. I'm lonely. No one actually likes me. I get those thoughts too. But truly look around. You have someone, and that's all you need is someone. You don't need multiple people. If you have one person in your life that you can look to and be like, you truly love me for who I am. And maybe that's just your husband or your wife.
Or maybe you even haven't met that person yet.
Yeah.
Maybe you just haven't met that person yet. There is someone.
There's someone. Yeah.
And that's why I think I love our communities on Instagram. Mm-hmm. How much support people find from the people that comment on my posts and comment on Anxiety Chicks and your health anxiety. I mean, that's probably the biggest thing that if I could keep this going forever, this platform, is that there are people listening right now that actually find that person for them on the Anxiety Healer. Like they find, even if they live across the world, maybe it's someone that they can Zoom with or talk to that just understands the level of anxiety they have and understands that they just want to get to know the person for who they are. And
I think that's... They're not alone. No. Like I have, being full transparent, I cry probably a couple times a month to my husband. I'll just be like, I feel lonely. Like I feel like, and I'll go through a phase of it and like a thought because I've saw something on social media or whatever. And then I realize I've truly opened my eyes and I'm like, look at our communities. Like you said, they're all our friends.
Yeah.
Even though we don't might not know each other in person, like we all relate and we all are going through the same things. And I think when you open up that door of vulnerability, that's a better friend than you've ever had in your life.
100%. I think it's so cool that you just said that. And I so relate to you about like feeling this loneliness every now and then. And I always just assume that all my loneliness is because I'm not married and I don't have a boyfriend. And hearing that you're lonely like that sometimes and you're married, it's like, it doesn't matter. Like you can have these emotions, whether you could be surrounded by a million people and still feel so lonely.
Yeah. I think it's also thoughts too that can make you feel lonely. Like I think even if I have, like I said, I have about three friends who I know, they know me for who I am. They know me for, I've allowed myself to be like, let me show these people who I truly am at my core. I have anxiety. I mean, I had a full on freak out with these people. Remember my eye story on my wedding day?
Oh yeah.
Like, I felt I could act that way in front of them and they didn't judge me. Like I felt okay acting that way. And it's like, okay, I know I have those people, but I still question sometimes like, do they actually like me? And anxiety will come in and be like, they just pity you. And like, you bother them, you annoy them, you're texting them too much. They don't actually want to hang out with you.
You just had a buzzword that you just said. Do you know what it is?
No.
Because of the J. Judgment.
Oh, judgment.
You were just talking and you threw that word in there just as you were talking. And that's a huge, it's just a buzzword. Think about that. Do you feel like who you're around are judgmental?
No.
Are they judging you?
Yeah.
Right, and I'm asking you and our listeners, but like I'm saying, if you're listening to this and you hang out with a certain group and you feel like they're very judgmental towards you, that is a clue to reevaluate who you hang out with. The people and the friends that you want around are people that lift you up and that make you feel good about you. They want to know about your life. They want to know, like, if you feel comfortable and safe enough to talk to them about anxiety, they want to know, oh my gosh, tell me how I can support you with that. Oh, you're going to have to say, maybe at the last minute, you're going to have to cancel a couple things because sometimes it comes out of nowhere. That's okay. I get it. I will never be mad at you. Yes. I get it. If you need to not come, that's okay. We can meet at another time.
I feel like you and I have that. Like, you know how sometimes you and I will be like, hey man, I just can't do the podcast today.
Totally.
And our responses to each other are so, it's the most relieving thing I think I've ever felt, because I've always had an issue with canceling because I have a fear of people just freaking out on me.
Yeah.
And like you always reply and you're like, hey, it's okay. We both reply to each other and we're like, take time for yourself. Take a day for yourself. Like when you were going through all that breakup stuff, I was like, Allison, you deserve time. And I felt like it was like almost like shocking to you that like you truly did deserve that time and that it was okay to stop. And I could see it, 'cause you're like, I can log on, like I can do it. And I'm like, no, I'm like, we don't have to, like, it's okay. You know, if our followers don't, and same with our followers, if they don't want to listen to us because we go through things as humans too.
Right.
Then they're not our friends either.
You don't have to do it. I mean, it's hard. The expectations for myself and then expectations for other people. It's hard for me. I'm working on that because I really don't hang out with anyone at this point that doesn't accept and understand that if I need to say no at the last minute, that's going to happen. And it doesn't have anything personally to do with that. It has more to do with my anxiety or my, you know, GI issues or stuff like that. Right. So it's, but it's hard. This is a hard process. And I think reevaluating friendships is something that probably happens to more women. I feel like men, I was just saying this because I had this like virtual date last night. And
oh, wait, what?
We were talking about, yeah, he was really nice. Anyway, it's for another day. But we were talking about that, how he was talking about like one of him and his friends and they got into something. And then the next hour it was like, okay, man, whatever. I was like, right? I wish that women could just do that. No. I wish that, and I'm not, you know, I don't know, men or women. It's that's kind of like the science behind it, but obviously I'm not talking about gender here, but just the brain of a male is very different. And it's crazy because I mean, obviously an emotional, just overly emotional person anyway, but I'm just like, sometimes I wish I could just be like, all right, whatever. And sometimes it's really not personal. It's just like, bye. But
yeah.
I don't know. I'm glad we got to talk about this today because
yeah, I think there's a lot of people who feel lonely. Like I really do. I think it's, and you know what? You don't know that because I sometimes forget to show that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like,
yeah.
Because when we talk, it's normally at night. Like when I'm just kind of like sitting there, like thinking about things and I'm just like, I just feel super lonely. And it's like, yeah people are around me. Yeah. But I feel lonely. And I don't know sometimes what it is.
I mean, listen, this year has been so hard too. I mean, talk about feeling disconnected from people during a pandemic. I mean, the only way for months and months was to connect over a computer with, especially if you're not someone who's married and you're single, or maybe you are married, or I don't know. If you live alone, let's just put it that way. You can feel like, oh my gosh, like for me, wow, during this pandemic, oh my gosh, I was only connecting through screens. And I really thrive from, you know, having energy of other people around me at times.
Yeah.
And so not having that was a very lonely feeling too. But at the same time, I know that I'm not alone. But but I allow myself to feel lonely. I just don't stick in it. So I just, like you said, you cry. I'll cry sometimes. I'll listen to some sad songs. And I'm just like, oh, this is sad. And then I'm like, you know what? That was a good cry. I'm going to go outside, take a walk, spend some time with my, you know, dog, and then visit the people that I feel good around.
Yeah.
And that kind of brings me back to that.
I also remind myself in those moments, like to get brought back to it, is I'd rather feel lonely than be alone in a crowd. Like I always try and bring myself back to those times where I quote unquote wasn't lonely because I was the life of the party, whatever.
Yeah.
But how unfulfilling that was at the end of the day. And like how me being alone and doing the things that I actually like, even like going shopping by myself, which I do a lot. I go to stores and errands by myself.
Yeah.
And I prefer it. Yeah. And I enjoy that time almost like just like allowing myself to like be important.
Yeah.
And putting myself first for once, because I think my whole life I put like cleaning other kids' mom's house. What? Why did that mom ever even let me clean that house? Like, that's weird. Let's think about that. But like, it's, you know what I mean?
I know. Well, I'll say, I will say just before we go that I would say the biggest thing that you can do right now, if you are struggling with your friendships and kind of, first of all, I said the whole thing about judgment and you want to feel good around these people.
Yeah.
That's what friendship should be. You should feel like you can be safe around them and that you can be vulnerable. And if you want to express your emotions that you can, and they don't hold it against you if you say something. But also if you feel like, wow, maybe I don't know if that's even anybody in my circle. Like, I don't think anyone accepts me. I don't know who that is. We're getting now to a point where the world is sort of opening up again. If you have your vaccine, obviously take precautions. We are going to need to do this, but like things are going to be opening up again soon. I think There's going to be, you know, meetups again soon and different ways to meet new people. Mm-hmm. And you just need to put yourself out there and really just smile and just try and do the, I mean, I'm not saying share your dirty laundry with any, like everyone right away, but just keep your heart open to meeting new people. Because like I said before, that person for you, you might not have even met yet. You know, right, like even for me, I feel like I have so many friends that I have yet to meet. I'll probably meet sometime soon in my yoga community or something like that. And you just never know. So just keep your heart open and surround yourself in communities that make you feel like you have kind of a common worldview about, like my, the yoga community for me just is so healing. I know every, I know like most of the people that I meet in different yoga communities that I've been to are all very just similar in their mindset to me and just really grounded. Some are open, some are struggle with anxiety, but they're so open about, you know, how they're trying to work on themselves and stuff. And it's the type of people I feel I like to be around.
No, I feel you. People that want to are interested in topics that you truly are interested in, which I feel like I never allowed myself to surround myself with people like that because they were like maybe nerdier. You know what I mean?
Right. Quote unquote. Right. There is no nerd. Unquote. I'm the biggest nerd ever.
I'm the biggest nerd. I could out nerd you.
I mean, I don't even know, whatever. But anyway, well, any last wise words, Taylor?
Just, I like what you said. If you're in a friend group right now where you're not feeling fulfilled and the judgment's there and you're just like every day feeling so alone, even though you have all those friends, it's okay to let go too. You're not a mean person for letting go of them. And you know what? They might be, they might sometimes look at you as like, oh, she's trying to be better than us, or she thinks she's better than us now.
Yep. That's because they're judgmental.
Yeah. And you know what?
That's why.
You might feel talked about for a little bit for leaving that friend group. You might feel like judged, but you were judged when you were in that friend group because they were probably taught just like how they talked about other girls in the group to you. They were talking about you too. And so you might go through a season of loneliness, but like Allison said, you will find your person. And even if it's just one person, that's all you need.
Right. I love that. Well, on that note, we hope you guys liked this episode and make sure to follow us at The Anxiety Chicks on Instagram. And we'll be back next week with another healing episode. We'll talk to you guys later.
Bye.
Hi, healers. Thanks so much for listening to this episode of The Anxiety Chicks with Taylor and I. As always, you can find us on Instagram. You can find me, Allison Sepinera, as The Anxiety Healer, and Taylor as health_anxiety. And as always, you can check out The Anxiety Healing School. I just dropped a new course called When Panic Attacks, Triggers That Create Fear and How to Overcome Them, all about overcoming your anxious triggers and finding more awareness on what contributes to your anxious thoughts and giving you all the tools on how to overcome them. It's a self-paced course, and if there's any struggle with finances, there's a payment plan available as well. So go to theanxietyhealingschool.com to check that out. And as always, go to peakofpanic.com to check out updates about Taylor's blog and her journal she's coming out with. Thanks, everyone. Happy healing.